Hello. And guess what? You have probably made the best decision of this week. That's right, you're streaming another stellar episode of Mac Watson Talks. This time around, we're going to talk about the Trump trial as well as the other Trump trial and the other Trump trial and the other Trump trial. So where is this all leading, and how can Trump be in contempt of court so many times and not be in jail? Also, we give our thoughts and prayers to Lady La, who has been in the Valley for over 20 years on the air. She has had an unfortunate accident, and we will talk about that, as well as a man who bit a cop in the head and exposed his skull. You know what? I don't think that was a good idea. All that and much more is coming up, so let's get started. It's episode 272. All right, I know that you are not a big fan of this, but...
So we're going to talk about the election?
No, we're going to talk about the Trump trial.
Not a big fan of, sort of the same thing.
Right, exactly. Anyway. they involve the same person, right? So, first of all, I'm going to get this out of the way. I hate calling it the hush money case. The trial is not about hush money, okay? I can have an encounter with a woman, and if I don't like her and I agree to pay her, that is not illegal. That is not what this case is about. This is about falsifying records that could, maybe, should have, could have, would have affected an election, but the media has picked up on this hush money trial moniker. So anyway, I want to just get that out of the way.
Well, I mean, he's not being tried for hush money, but it all revolves around the payment of hush money,
correct. And whether or not they falsified the record so it wouldn't come out during the 2016 election. All right.
Right, because he didn't pay it himself. His attorney paid it, right?
Yes, Michael Cohen, the attorney who was called the fixer, paid the person that he had the encounter with,
Stormy Daniels,
right, and how they labeled it, and accounting wise, whatever. Okay. So it has been a
he's not practicing law anymore, is he? I mean,
Michael Cohen,
yeah.
Oh God, no.
That's like
he's got a podcast,
and that's disbarment right there.
Of course he is. Of course he's disbarred. So here's where I'm going with this, because so far this trial for me has been a nothing burger. They have, at least from what I've understood or what I understand, they have not. There is no smoking gun that's like, oh, that's really bad. They're, a jury. I think it's going to be a hung jury.
Well, trials don't usually have smoking guns. They usually
I thought they did.
They're a slow build of evidence to conviction.
Okay.
So, and nobody ever has Perry Mason moments. That's not how how real life works.
Oh, I wish it did.
Because there's something called discovery.
Okay. All right. So here's where I'm going with this. So last week, the judge in the hush money trial said to
you didn't like calling it that.
I don't, but that's what people know it as. So the judge said, President Trump, you are in contempt of a gag order that he issued saying, don't say stuff about the jury. Don't say stuff about the jurors. Don't say anything about the trial, or I will hold you in contempt.
That's
right?
Totally okay. Happens in lots of trials.
All right. So the president did or posted stuff on social media, and the judge said, "I am fining you $1,000 per transgression." It wound up being $9,000, which is
nothing.
Which is in our world $1.25.
Seriously? I mean, I'd love to have $9,000, but to him, $9,000 is nothing.
Right. So the former president basically has been saying, and this is where I want your legal opinion, almost every day before he goes into court and every day when he comes out, there's a press conference. Now, what I have said is that this is better than a campaign trail. He doesn't have to travel. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He has the media twice a day during the trial, whenever he goes into Manhattan to goes to court, that he has a captive audience, and he can say whatever he wants.
But he's not talking about the trial at the press conferences.
Yes, he is. He's talking about the judge being corrupt. He's talking about the judge not knowing what he's doing. Again, he complained today, which is Friday, when we're recording this.
He's not actually talking about the substance of the trial, though.
That it was a joke. That the trial was a joke and a disgrace after the judge overseeing his hush money trial directed prosecutors to inform Michael Cohen, the star witness, to stop speaking publicly about the case as well. So Trump says, hey, there's no gag order for Michael Cohen. What this judge did was amazing, actually.
Well,
everybody can assume.
The gag order applies to both the parties and the witnesses. So there is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But my point is, can you call a judge a disgrace, a political operative? Can you call him all these names and not be in contempt?
Yeah, you can. And judges have to have thick skin because people do stuff like that all the time. But you do it to your detriment because he's not going to be favorable in his rulings. Like, he's not going
to
be
it's up to a jury.
Right, I know, but it's up to a jury. But what happens? The judge runs the trial.
Right, right.
You're going to object and he's going to say overruled.
So if I am Michael Cohen, you know, I'm going to say, I guess, whatever I'm saying, but your point is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that Trump is treading on thin ice when it comes to the judge. But the judge so far, I mean, the Stormy Daniels testimony, I thought, was, again, salacious. We didn't learn anything, but the judge allowed it to happen.
But it had already been out there in the...
Yeah.
In the court of public, you know, information.
Right.
But here's the problem. There's a couple risks. You risk the judge not ruling for you. You also could technically be in contempt because you are saying the judge is an idiot and all this stuff.
Yeah,
which
right.
could. But even though jurors are supposed to be avoiding, you know, news about the trial, if that got to one of the jurors, then they've been influenced by or for or against whatever's going on in the courtroom, because they heard, well, you know, that Michael Cohen said the judge was an idiot and he seemed like a really smart lawyer.
But I thought are all juries sequestered?
No,
so they can't.
They are
they're not. Oh,
they're
okay.
Just told to avoid
right.
news and all this
right.
stuff. Sequestered is so rare because it's so
okay.
expensive.
Okay.
And if you sequester a jury, you usually go to trial like all day, every day, and you're done within like 2 weeks because they don't, you can't keep somebody sequestered for like 3 months.
No.
There's no way this jury is sequestered.
Okay. So the other thing, the other part of this too that I've talked about is that Trump has had now, there are four trials, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This one is going on currently in New York.
Right.
The three others have been indefinitely delayed. Now, how do you indefinitely delay a trial? If a trial starts or something legally starts, doesn't it have to finish?
Well, not if it's not a jury trial. I mean, if it's before a bench, the judge can just delay it to hear the rest of the evidence on it.
Okay, so I guess what I don't understand is even if you like Judge Cannon in the
they're all civil cases; they're not criminal cases.
No, they're criminal.
But
there's only one civil.
But are they being tried to the bench or to a jury? See that you have to tell me more information. If they're being tried to the bench, they can delay them. And if the trials haven't actually started, they can...
No, you're right. The trials haven't actually started,
right.
But because Trump's lawyers have used every kind of delay tactic, the one especially, Judge Cannon came out this week and said, I'm delaying this indefinitely,
I'm
paraphrasing.
In one of the cases somewhere else?
Yeah. The legal documents case in Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and basically said, there's too many things to take care of. What?
If there's all these other things going on that are interrupting their case, and it's a civil case, you don't have any right to a speedy trial in a civil case.
Again, these are criminal cases. These are all criminal cases. So that's why I don't understand. That's what I don't understand. Okay, so let me.
And if they've already waived their speedy trial rights, then there's no reason why they can't delay it.
Okay, so Judge Aileen Cannon, who by the way was appointed by Trump. She has indefinitely delayed Trump's documents trial, and that is among the latest roadblocks to the former president seeing trial in several of the outstanding cases against him. So Cannon granted one of the earliest, I guess, requests or asks from Trump's legal team in declining to set an ultimate trial date, leaving unclear when it will come before a jury. She otherwise shuffled the schedule to spend more time on legal issues raised as far back as February.
Well, they have to get all the pretrial motions out of the way before they can even set it for trial anyway.
Okay, so I guess...
And at this point, he's definitely... he's waived his speedy trial rights, so they're not trying to get him to trial in under 180 days or whatever.
Okay, so Trump's other federal charges are also facing roadblocks to reaching trial before the election, Well, you've got proceedings in his January 6th case on pause until the Supreme Court. They need to resolve a bid by the former president to toss the case.
Well, and the thing is you can't do
anything.
With
immunity.
You can't do anything about that if there's a interlocutory, like in while the case is going on, appeal that's been accepted by a higher court
right.
to decide some decision within the current case.
Okay.
It's very rare that happens, but it often happens in federal cases involving things like presidents. So.
Okay. And then you've got the possibility of any Trump trial in Georgia in the election interference case. That took a hit when a state appeals court on Wednesday agreed to review a lower court's decision not to remove Fulton County District Attorney Fawnie Willis from, you know, her following
it, and
a
again,
romantic
that's,
blah, blah,
that's
blah.
That's that interlocutory appeal that's happening in the middle of it. So
jeez.
It has nothing to... So now they can't move forward. It doesn't have anything to do with the judge. It's
yeah.
that a higher court has accepted review of
right.
what's going on, and that stops the clock. It stops everything,
oh.
the proceedings, everything.
Wow. So Georgia and the Florida documents case, Mar-a-Lago documents case, are almost certainly delayed at this point. And then you've got the D.C. election fraud case, which hinges on how and when SCOTUS rules. So what a lot of people are saying
well,
is
sounds like two
we're never going to see he's never going to go to trial. If he's elected, he will never go to trial.
Because
he's going to pardon himself.
Well, the thing is you can only do that in federal cases, so that wouldn't do anything for state court. You can't pardon.
Okay.
A president can't pardon somebody out of state court, so you could still face state court charges.
Okay, so if he becomes president, though, isn't all bets are off? You can't, as a sitting president, go through a trial, right?
I don't know if you can pardon yourself either. I guess you can. I mean,
would give himself the power to do it.
Well, it's a... It's a constitutionally granted executive
power. Not if it's
power.
An executive order, if he does an executive order.
You can't make an executive order giving yourself executive power that's not part of the Constitution, your constitutional
I don't know,
powers.
Man. I don't know. I mean, again, I keep hearing, and look, I'm not the smartest guy. You know, I just keep hearing the delay tactic is for him to get into the White House so he can finagle the system to pardon himself.
If he doesn't, he's sure to, you know, go to prison. So,
well, yeah, all he has to do is be convicted on one charge.
And you know what? The best case for that happening is quite possibly what's going on in New York.
Why? Well, no. In New York right now?
With the hush money trial. Isn't that where it's
yeah,
happening?
Yeah, this is the hush money trial in Manhattan.
Why? Because
the civil court was already done.
Because that's in state court, not federal court. Isn't it?
No. No. I. Oh, is it?
Well, you've got the article right in front
of
you.
I know, I know, I know.
Read the judge's name. Is he the New York District Court judge, or is he a what is
oh,
it?
Oh, a federal court judge. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, of course they don't say it in this article. Okay. They just call him the judge.
I think that one's in state court.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that...
All right, let's assume it is. Let's assume it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that if it's... Well, this is the Manhattan District Attorney.
Right, it's in state court.
So that's state court.
Yeah, the Manhattan District Attorney does not try cases in federal court.
Okay.
That would be the district... That would be
the federal...
The U.S. Attorney for the District of New York. Right.
Okay. Okay, so again, if Trump is found in contempt again...
Contempt is a civil charge, not a criminal charge. Though.
Right, right. But my point is that the judge has said, I am considering sending you to jail.
Which he can.
Now,
which he can for like, usually.
How
it's like,
would you send him to jail?
Well, he would have to be in some kind of secured lockdown.
Right.
Right,
right, but it's a jail, not a prison.
Right, but he can only do it for like 6 days. And then you let him out and you give him a chance to not be in contempt again.
But where, like physically, where would you put him as a president with Secret Service detail? As a former president with Secret Service detail, where would you go?
I'm sure they would find a way to put him in jail somewhere.
Oh my God.
In New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Also in the news, this was interesting too. This was a little closer to where we are. So you've got a fatal collision in Jackson Hole on a ski resort.
Mm-hmm.
A man who has been a ski instructor for years, he was in his 70s, was struck by an unidentified 34-year-old man. They collided with each other.
Happens all the time on ski hills.
Both men suffered serious injury. The older man, the ski instructor, died 3 days later. Now, the cause of death, the coroner did an autopsy. The coroner said the cause of death was intracranial hemorrhaging. I guess a brain bleed, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. Now, because of that, in Wyoming, this happened again, Jackson Hole in Wyoming. Because of that, state law says you have to put the death as a homicide because somebody else caused it. So what the
I mean, if you were in a car wreck and you had intracranial bleeding, they wouldn't call it a homicide.
Why not? If it was somebody else's fault.
What if you were driving and you were the only person involved?
Okay,
in the
wreck, different. That's right? Different. That's different. If this guy had run into a tree, right? But because this guy was struck by another person, what they say is the homicide designation is a state of Wyoming means in the death caused by someone else. So now,
even if they put homicide in there, that doesn't mean that you're convicted of murder.
No. It not convicted,
means,
but now...
he died of homicide, of like somebody else causing his death.
But now the sheriff's office and the prosecutor, they have to decide whether they're going to charge this guy.
And they can decide not to.
So what would they charge him on? Because sometimes isn't an accident just an accident?
I mean, what if it was like a homicide caused because a kid let off the emergency brake in a car and then you... So obviously somebody else.
So you backed up.
So are you going to charge that kid with murder? No.
No, involuntary manslaughter.
No, you wouldn't even charge a kid with that. You couldn't charge a kid with that. It was like a 4-year-old. It would just be.
But you're saying it's his fault.
It's an accident. Yes, he was the causal, like, triggering event. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it was an even negligent event. Both of them were on the mountain on their skis, skiing or snowboarding or whatever they were doing, and they both undertook that dangerous event with knowing that they could run into each other, into a tree, into anything else. And so they are only going to charge him if they find
that you had to prove malice,
that his actions leading up to it were not necessarily that he had malice, but that they were so negligent that a reasonable person would not find the way that he was skiing to be a reasonable
like if he was skiing with
skiing.
His eyes closed and they could prove
right,
it,
right?
Like
or
that.
If he was skiing and he was high on methamphetamine or something, okay. Right? Then you could say, okay, look, you decided to get high and go skiing, so now you have to face the consequences.
Yeah.
But if you're just skiing in a regular skiing and you didn't see him. You know, there's a blizzard, or you came out of one trail and he came out of another trail.
Right, right.
Or you thought he was going left and then you went left and he actually went right. And I mean, you don't know.
Right, right. So you don't see this going to the prosecutor and him charged.
Unless
being charged.
Not with any of the information you have so far. Yeah. There's no eyewitness saying he was chasing him he was trying to play chicken with him you know.
what I said was how do you prove? I mean, unless somebody saw like them witnessing, like they got into an altercation beforehand or something how do you prove it?
It doesn't even have to be an altercation. It has to be that the other skier was skiing so outrageously
that he had
to have known that he could cause harm to other people.
I see. Okay.
Like he was doing something that was so outrageous, on drugs, you know, skiing, doing flips or going off trail where he wasn't supposed to be.
Okay.
That would be so, that's not how reasonable people act.
But if
he was just doing regular ski stuff, then I can't see that that's going to be something they could charge him with.
I see. Okay.
Especially in Jackson Hole, people aren't going, I think, you know, you're not trying him in a vacuum. You're trying him with a jury
public
of his,
space
of his peers in a town and
that
has that
skiing.
Mindset. Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay.
All right. Also, speaking of brain matters, got to give a shout out and thoughts and prayers to not a friend. I didn't know her. I met her once. Lady Law, well-known radio host, business owner in Phoenix, recovering from a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, my gosh. I met her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we both met her.
Yeah, we met her. I think I met her at the same time. I mean, there was somewhere. We were somewhere.
Oh, it was me and you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I met her, and I was like, that's her name?
Yeah. Right? She spent weeks in the ICU. She is now back home and healing. She has been on the airwaves in Phoenix for 2 decades as a radio personality. Mm-hmm. In 2021, her Hawaiian shave ice business, Mahalo Made, was so successful that it moved from her Airstream trailer to the Frederick on Missouri in Phoenix.
So Lady Law, in addition to being on the radio,
has a Hawaiian shave ice business.
A shave ice business.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So again,
so she just wasn't making enough money, and she's like, "I'll just get an RV and start."
And everybody in radio has a side hustle. Come on, you know that. So she called 911 herself and was later airlifted to the hospital.
And what happened to her?
She had a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, it's not like she didn't get in an accident or something, right?
No, she said I was at home and I felt a headache. The headache got worse. It was the worst one of my life. I just felt this pressure all over, and I felt a voice say inside me, "You don't have time." So she immediately called 911 and then was airlifted to the hospital. Then she was intubated, and a drain was put in her skull to clear out any liquid from her brain.
Well, she was put into a medically induced coma, yeah, is what that means.
Oh. So she's been focusing on the small things, you know, like walking, like
talking,
going out,
yeah,
in the sun, that kind of thing. So, again, we wish her all the best, but my goodness, that is just unbelievable.
Wow.
That she has survived, which is great. Another Paradise Valley resident, Brett Michaels, the former front guy for Poison, he had a brain aneurysm a number of years ago and was in the ICU at a Phoenix hospital. I think it was Banner Medical, because they have a brain, like a neurosurgery or whatever there. He said it felt like, in an interview, he said it felt like a gunshot went off in the back of his head, mm-hmm, and he immediately crumpled to the floor. So Lady Law is kind of lucky that she actually could function and figure, like, he was out. He was down, right?
But somebody was near him by
So I don't know if his girlfriend or whoever, but somebody called 911. She actually did it herself. So, I mean, thank goodness. Thank goodness she could do that. So
it's really hard to know when you're in pain. Am I at the point where I need to help, or is this just going to pass?
Right.
You know, because I had something that's called globus sensation, uh-huh, which is sort of feels like anaphylactic shock. Not that I know what that feels
anaphylactic
like.
Anaphylactic shock?
You
really?
Know, when your throat closes
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah.
And so to me, like reading about it, I'm like, well, that sounds like somebody who's like eats peanuts or something.
Right.
Like, and it was so painful sometimes. And I was like, do I just need to power through it, or is it time to go to the hospital with it?
So what did you decide to do?
I never went to the hospital with it, but I do remember that
one. It's very painful.
That one Christmas Eve that I, on the way home from that Christmas party, it was with you. I was like, I don't know, should I go to the ER?
Yeah, right.
It was so terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever figure out what that's from?
That was the day that I figured out that it had, because we had eaten all the same things, that it had to have been from red wine.
Red wine.
That red wine was
the tannins
trigger.
From red wine.
That was when I figured it out, because you didn't drink red wine. You didn't drink wine.
But I don't know if I would have had the same reaction anyway if I did drink red wine, right?
Right. But I had been having that, what I now know is called globus sensation. What before I didn't know what it was called. It was like my throat was like closing up or whatever. And I couldn't figure out what was causing it. I knew that when it happened, if I ate something like chips or something, I could sometimes get it stopped. But I didn't know why that would be true.
Yeah.
But it was really painful. So I'd had it before. It wasn't the first time that it had happened to me, but I could never figure out why it was happening to me. And then that Christmas Eve is when I figured it out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think I've only had it happen once since then.
Oh, really?
I mean, I still have reflux all the time, but...
Oh, you have reflux, but that
globus
sensation.
Okay, right, yeah.
Okay. That's just some of the news this week. Thanks, Cricket.
Thank you, Mac. Are you a patron on Patreon? Are you getting free bonus material every month from Mac Watson Talks? You should become a member now. For as little as $5, you get a bonus episode every week. We talk about our marriage. We talk about our kids. Anything that has to do with the Watson household or what's going on with the Watsons, that's in the bonus material every month. Here's an example. Don't need to know when she has a bowel movement.
Yeah.
I just want her, when I actually ask her a question, I want her to tell me. I'm not even talking about the lie of omission here. I'm talking about the outright
lie. But does she tell us what we want to hear, or does she just outright lie? Like the dog poop thing, that's an outright lie.
And that's not
get that.
It's what we want to hear, because she thought, if I say yes, that's what she wants to hear, and then I won't have to go out and do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if we don't check up on her, well, last week, I was reading to brother. I read to him every night because you won't. And
he wants you to read to him.
I know. Because I like reading to him and I think it's important. But I always like kind of maintain in the back of my mind, what is she doing? Is she getting ready for bed? Do I hear her in the shower?
Want to hear the rest? Go to patreon.com/MacWatsonTalks. That's patreon.com/MacWatsonTalks. And for as little as $5 a month, you too can be a patron on Patreon. Now it's time for Tales from the Crib, where we tell stories about the Watson household. And as you know, at the Watson household, most everything right now is sort of like, it's like a whirlpool, and we're coming to the center point of that whirlpool.
The drain.
The quinceañera. Yeah, and yeah. It is a drain. Yeah. And so there's all of these peripheral things that have nothing to do with like the actual party itself, like getting something for brother to wear, like figuring out what you're going to wear, like deciding what I'm going to wear, because those are important things. There's going to be a photographer there.
What am I supposed to wear?
Well, I'm kind of hoping you'll wear your tuxedo.
I don't have a tuxedo.
Yes, you do.
Wait a minute. That was a Halloween costume.
No, your black one that you got from...
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to get that fitted. I don't know if that fits. I'll have to check. Yeah. I'll have to check and see. But I was thinking, do I wear a suit? Do I wear...
Yeah, well, you're going to wear a suit or something, but I was hoping you'd wear that tuxedo because I think that would look really nice.
Okay.
It's a very nice tuxedo. It's like a collarless tuxedo.
Yeah.
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 Just super sharp.
I'll have to see if I need to get that tailored.
But so I had picked out some dresses that I was thinking about ordering on Amazon because I could just order them. If they didn't work, I could send them back, right? Because free shipping,
yeah, that's
Prime,
what you do.
All this, whatever. And I showed them to sister and she was like, Mom, no, no. And I was like, what? And I just picked out these dresses
that
would look really good on me. Like, right? So they were like...
Well, who else would they look
like
good on?
Like a deep blue.
Yeah.
Not like...
Like a deep green maybe or...
No, like a deep dusty blue kind of. You
okay.
Know?
All right.
Not a bright navy blue or anything like that.
Right. But like a darker color.
And she was like, oh, no. No.
Why not?
No, no, no. And she said, Mom, you have to wear red. I have to wear red? I would never choose to wear red.
No, you wouldn't.
Never, never, never.
Nope.
Especially now that my hair is white, I would never choose to wear red.
You would look like a Disney villain character.
I don't know. Well, anyway, so she's like, and I'm like, ugh. So then I start looking at red dresses, but there is nothing that I am even willing to like order to try on. And I'm like, yuck, you know, so I don't have any idea what I'm going to do, right? I don't have a plan. And one day we've talked about this before. I love going to thrift stores. And so lately I've been going to thrift stores and I'd been toying with this idea of buying red vases. This is also
what is that?
Swirling around the quinceañera like
red vases
sinkhole.
Like for flowers?
Yeah.
Oh.
But that we would maybe set these, she has all these disco balls she bought and in as like centerpieces.
Good God.
Oh, because dude, I have to figure out centerpieces. It's not just like, you know, we're all done. So that's sort of been this thing in my mind. So, I go and I've looked and I just haven't really seen what I visualize that I want to find, you know, or I find one, but one isn't enough.
Okay.
And they don't have to be exactly the same. I don't mind if they're all different, but I have to find more than one. So I haven't really bought any yet. So anyways, I go to these thrift stores and I'm like looking at them. Well, there's this one thrift store that's kind of random. It's a kind of really hit or miss about finding anything in there.
Is it a small thrift shop? Yeah. Is it Goodwill? Was it Goodwill?
No.
It's just a thrift shop.
We don't have
a
Goodwill here. But it has, it. So around the, I don't know, you've never even been in there probably.
No, I don't know where you're
like
talking
thrift
about.
Thrift on 16th or something like that. And around the periphery of the building is like all the, I don't know, household stuff, like the hard goods, right? And then in the middle, there's like all these clothing racks.
Okay.
So you just sort of walk around the whole edge of it. So when you're looking at stuff. So I'm there one day, and at the end of one of these racks is this gorgeous red formal.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah.
Now, what do you mean by a red formal? I know, well, that red's the color of the dress, but what does a formal mean?
Like a long dress, like a bridesmaid's dress,
or
like
a prom
dress.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of dress.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that'd be nice. That won't fit me, though. I'm thinking, like, there's no way I'm going to. So, but I'm like, I just can't stop myself. I look in the tag inside.
So you eye it up and you think,
I won't fit into it? No, I look at the tag inside to see what size it is.
Oh, okay. And it's not your size.
It is my size.
It is your size. Okay.
But do I buy it? No.
I will venture no.
No. So okay. I don't. And not because it's too expensive, but because I'm like, well, first of all, like, does this thrift store even have a like fitting room? And then I'm like, I mean, it looks really clean, like it's never been worn. Also weird. Or it's been cleaned, but it's hard to tell. But I mean, it's got no, you can tell. you can usually see makeup along like the neckline. Or, okay. You know, like if it's somebody's worn it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even look like it's been worn. It still has all of its like straps inside, which I don't even want to begin to try to explain to you. But the women out there know what I'm talking about. They're the things that help hold it onto the hanger because they don't hang on a hanger like a regular dress would, right?
Right.
So I don't even take a picture of it. I just think, yeah, even if it's my size, I just kind of like.
You just didn't want to admit that you liked it?
No, I'm like, am I really going to buy a dress at a thrift store to wear to the quinceañera?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. Because I'm not used. I don't actually usually thrift store shop clothes for me.
Oh, I see.
I mean, okay. I did for, especially when our son was little. Because
yeah,
thrift
absolutely.
Store kids' clothes are like in such good condition because kids grow so fast.
Right.
So I think about it. So that was like on a Friday, and I think about it like all weekend long, and I'm like, why didn't I ask if they had a I mean, they've got to have like a bathroom there or something, right? They've got like something.
Right.
So I go back on Monday, and I say to this woman, well, first I go look, and it's still there, and then I say, do you have a fitting room? And she goes, oh, yeah, you know that room in the back? And I'm like, what? There's like
the one with the
there's like all these linens hanging in there. I thought it was just like a extra linen room.
You
like,
mean you know. That thing with the tarp and the drain in
no,
the back
I mean,
and
actually,
the concrete
it has,
floor?
It's actually a room, but I thought it was just like a side room. She goes, yeah, that's that we use that as the fitting room.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
I'm like, okay. So I go in there and I try it on. And of course, you can't zip up your own dress. It's kind of ridiculous, right? But it does appear that it will fit me. And so I buy it.
Okay.
I buy it for $25.
And you think it's new, like never been worn, right?
I do think it's never been worn.
Wow, that's great.
If it has been worn, then it was cleaned.
Okay.
Because it,
but it
here's
but
the
it
other
looks
thing
good.
About it. It has just a tiny bit of a train on it.
Really?
Like when you put it on, it purposefully drags in the back.
Is that okay?
Well, I don't know if I really want that.
Oh.
But when you look at it, that part's clean as well.
Oh, okay.
And if somebody had worn it, it would have gotten
dirty. Yeah.
So I brought it home and I thought, well, if I don't like the train, maybe I can have that cut off and I could have, and it's sleeveless and maybe I could just have, you know, that part cut off and then some sleeves made or whatever. And then as now that I'm getting closer to the quinceañera, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go bold and I'm just going to wear it.
You're not going to have it altered?
Yeah. I'm just going to do it. I mean, I might.
Sleeveless?
And I might pull the. Whatever, bustle the train so that
train,
it doesn't
yeah.
drag. But right. yeah, I think I'm just going to wear it as is.
Wow. So
I tried it
but
on.
But you haven't really tried it on
yes,
and
I
fitted
have.
It.
I have.
No,
tried
you
it
said
on.
You couldn't zip it in the back.
No,
though,
sister
could
couldn't zip it up. She was afraid to pull the zipper too
right,
hard.
So it hasn't really been fitted for you yet.
Well,
you don't really know
she
yet.
She can pull the back together.
Okay.
And it's tight.
Yeah.
But she can't zip it.
Yeah. So you don't know if it fits or not.
Yes, I do, Mac. I just said I did.
But if you
she
can't
can,
zip it up and it's tight, how do you know it's going to zip up?
She can pull the two zippers together and it is tight on me with her hands. But she can't actually make the zipper go up because she's afraid of breaking the zipper.
All right. Okay.
I just need another adult woman to help me.
I see. Why can't I help you? I can zip it up.
You're not an adult woman. You don't know anything about zipping up ladies' dresses.
I don't know anything about using a zipper.
No, it's not just a regular zipper. It's a zipper on a lady's dress.
Oh, please.
And you know what? If you break it and I have to have that whole zipper replaced,
I might as well have bought a new dress. All right, I'll tell you what. You let an adult woman help you.
Yeah,
I won't. Right. I will not help you. Okay.
Maybe my sister can come over this weekend and
maybe.
Put it on, and she can zip it up, and then we'll all know for sure that it fits me. Even though it's sort of uncomfortable to me, that not uncomfortable because it's not comfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's like mentally uncomfortable to me to wear a strapless dress.
Mentally uncomfortable,
right? Like it just feels so exposed, and I'm not.
Oh,
I'm,
you're not used
I'm
to that.
I'm old. I don't need to be like going around showing off all my stuff.
Yeah.
And you'll clearly be able to see my tattoo on my back, which will make my dad unhappy.
Oh, boy.
But you know what?
Well, you can put makeup
I'm
on
not
it.
I'm putting makeup over my tattoo.
Or duct tape.
I am not covering up my tattoo, even though I have a tattoo on my arm that he can see every single day.
That's right. That's right.
When I was looking at wedding dresses, I set my privacy settings to like just my sisters and my dad or whatever on Facebook when I was trying on wedding dresses so that they could all like vote on them. And my dad voted on dresses where you couldn't see my tattoo.
Now, did he say that?
No, but
or you figured it out.
But I was like, every dress that he said he liked, he even liked a dress that was like at my knees. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I like this one.
But it didn't show your back.
Tattoo,
oh, jeez.
Right. I didn't buy any of them. I ended up buying mine online.
Oh, but you looked good.
Clearance. Yeah.
Yeah, you looked good.
Clearance.
Yeah. And that is Tales from the Crib. You hear the music, you know what that means. It is time for the last word. Well, a man fueled by extensive cocktails and, of course, some drugs, attacked a cop at a music festival and bit, yes, I said bit, a large chunk from the officer's head, exposing the cop's skull bone. That is according to a criminal complaint, as cops responded to a disturbance at the Soulfest Music and Arts Festival in Ponce de Leon, Florida. That's where police encountered James Michael Anderson, who's 35 years old, and reportedly admitted using LSD, ketamine, mushrooms, ecstasy, and PCP that evening. Investigators allege that the 6'1", 280-pound Anderson, who was volunteering at the festival, attacked a male cop from behind and tried to dislodge his firearm from its holster. Boy, that is never a good idea. It was during the confrontation when Anderson opened his mouth and bit down on the deputy's skull and removed a large portion of flesh, exposing the victim's skull bone. Oh. Anderson was subsequently transported to a local hospital. He reportedly admitted to biting the deputy and complained that he had hair in his teeth. Oh, God, that's the least of your problems, dude. You're probably going away for a long time for biting a cop's head. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mac Watson Talks. This episode is copyrighted and may not be reproduced without permission. Connect with us on social media. And if you like what you hear, tell your friends. We love new listeners. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you next time on Mac Watson Talks.